if you want it on that healthier end, or if you want to get some beef consomme too, that may give you a little richer flavor on that.
Oh, yeah, that does sound good.
And then you need a bottle of Guinness. This makes it Irish.
Oh, now we're getting in it.
Now, that's where we are.
Okay, I was thinking red wine, but you're right, the Guinness.
Guinness. And then
you might need two bottles.
You might need two.
Because you might need to drink one while you're cooking. While you're cooking.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
So we have a meat market here that I order my meat from for what we're doing. And I was texting her what I need. You know, I do this every week. I need, you know, this, this, or this. And what I needed was 20 chicken breasts, 8 sirloins, and 4 pounds of beef, ground beef.
Okay.
What I texted was this week's breasts.
Oh.
8 sirloins.
How many breasts did you need?
This week's breast. That's what I texted. I said,
oh boy.
And then, and I'd already hit send and I read what I wrote and I went, I'm doing real good this week. Real good.
That's okay. They just gotta roll with it. Hey, is it your spring? When's your spring break?
It's John Garrett's spring break. He's home. Right. Mine, I still have 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll start.
It's okay. Okay. Look, it's okay because we've been in and out, in and out, in and out. I mean, with
that's true.
All the sickness and all the winter. And
then you know the weather's really turned. Right. And like you can really feel a little more confident in it. So welcome, everybody. Episode 127 of Designer Cornbread on this beautiful spring day. We have a gorgeous day here.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful here. I hope it is beautiful wherever you are listening from. It is gorgeous.
It really is. I think we're okay now. We'll see.
Yeah.
I hope. I do have a little phenomenon to tell you about. I had a little mystery last Friday. So I went out to run errands. Yeah, last Friday. And I opened the door to the side of the house, the driveway, and Hudson's old car is still there. It's a black Pathfinder. Anyway, which we need to sell, but you know, that can just go on the back burner with everything else. So now we have like 20 cars in our driveway. It's fine. So, and I open the door and I look and it's like, you know, everything shows up on a black car, but it looked like something had sprayed the car, with like dirty water. It was like spray, like it looked sprinkled on all over his car. And then I go to, you know, my other car and they were all covered too. The windshield, the van, all the windows are like it's got sprinkled on with dirt water. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Cause I thought, is it pollen? You know?
Right.
And I'm like, no, we're not that time yet. There's nothing blooming. And it just looked like dirty water. And I'm like, well, that is the weirdest thing ever. So it just gnawed on me all day long, just kind of as I'm driving all around. But as I'm going all over town, I went to various different parts of town and around, and everywhere I parked or drove, I saw other cars that looked exactly the same.
It's
not like, you know, when it rains and you just get water spots. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that. It was like dirty water spray all over, little tiny flecks all over all these different cars. And I'm like, what in the world? So I thought, well, it's got to be something, you know. Who knows? And who knows how I could even find that out? I, you know, didn't know. So later that night, I was on, I happened to get on the Facebook. And, you know, that's where everybody knows everything.
That's correct. Yeah.
But I was scrolling that and there was one of
dadgum drones.
It was the
drones. That are all over
the United States. Drones were spitting on us. how dare they? No, but there was like one of our local weather guys here in town had a post, and he said, some of you may have noticed today around St. Louis, we experienced in the early morning hours a phenomenon called dirty rain. And I went, and he said, because of the severe drought stuff in the West, there was big winds and it picked up dirt
dust
from New Mexico, Texas, and Oklahoma and blew it up into the clouds, and it got into the clouds and it rained dirt water on us.
I'm wondering, you know, when I got in my, I wonder if we got some of that down here.
Do you think?
Maybe, because I got in my windshield. I didn't think about it. I just thought pollen.
Right, but it's too early for pollen.
No, it's not down here.
Is it down there coming? No, okay.
Yeah.
But it wasn't green. It was dirt. Like, that was the only way I could explain it. It was like, it looked like rain rained on us that had dirt in it. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it was dirty rain.
How about that? I've never heard of that.
I had never heard of that either. Cool. I'd never seen that. But it just was so funny because all day long, and I like I said,
Sounds like the title of a good book, though.
Dirty Rain.
Dirty Rain.
Okay, Joni, whatever. That doesn't sound very Christian.
Fabio. I'm just saying.
Ew.
Just sounds like a good title of something.
Well, I'm just telling you, it was wild. And the fact that I saw it on all these cars, all these other places, I was like, okay, this is not just something that blew off my roof. Like, it wasn't my yard. I'm like, this is all over town. What the heck is going on?
Yeah.
So now you guys know you can get dirty. So we had dirty dust rain. from New Mexico and Texas all over our cars. My car is still, I gotta get it washed. So yeah. Anyway.
Look, New Mexico, keep your dirt to yourself.
Keep your
dirt. We
got
enough to deal with.
That's right.
Here.
We have enough troubles. I'm sure they would like to keep their dirt, probably.
Probably, you know, so, yeah.
It's getting blown away. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So that was cool. You know, really, other than that, that's just kind of catching up. I tried two times. One of them was that Friday, and one of them was a couple days before to return something to Michael's. I just had a return to do. Two different times, got to the store, parked in the parking lot, and had the sense to look for the receipt in my purse that I knew I put in there, and it was not to be found. Two times I'm showing up at a Michael's to try to return something, and I just hadn't put it in there, and I swore I did. So that's how my brain, I didn't even go in because I'm like, I'm not even going to go in. So now I have secured the receipt. It was on the table. So what happened, nobody even cares about this, but I just needed you guys to know that two times, and it's not like me. I'm very good at putting stuff where, you know, like I kind of know, kind of stay organized with all that. And two different times, I don't know what happened the first time. The second time, what happened was I stuck the receipt in my big purse. You know, I've got my little purse. It's in my big purse. Anyway, and then before I left the house, I must have been cleaning out that purse, and I just like grabbed out the receipts in the big purse and threw them on the breakfast table.
Okay.
But I needed that receipt to go return. So that felt great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all I know.
Well, I had a bit of a It's a Wonderful Life moment. You want to hear this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do. Yes. Okay.
And I'm going to tell it, and maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to tell it because I'm old and I don't care anymore. but it could be, look, my pellet is wearing thin.
Okay.
I go next week and I get a new pellet.
Okay.
So I could be, this could all be like hormonal, whatever, but
blame it on the pellet.
It's stupid. It's stupid. And I know it's stupid, but it's part of, you know, when you work and you work and you work and you work and you're just, it's just a thankless, unappreciated job. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, our CTE department has gotten a grant, and it's a lot of money to update equipment, you know, buildings, do a lot of stuff with. Mm-hmm. And my CTE director has gotten everything except for the one thing that I've asked for. And he has upgraded my equipment Yes. And I'm thankful, but it was all working fine. You know, I mean, it was not, it worked fine. And I think like the old fryer went to another department, like maybe maintenance where they could have fish fries and things. Like, I don't know.
They might need to fry up some fish.
I don't know that. I don't know that. But, and then you, and new cabinets, we did need new cabinets, 100% that needed to happen.
Okay.
Stainless steel, you know, and so I don't want to sound ungrateful, but the thing that would make my classroom run much more efficiently is if I had a cabinet, a display cabinet where we make.
Yes. Like for desserts and foods and stuff, pastries and stuff.
Right. Okay. We can make, you know, sandwiches and put because we can cook stuff all day long, but it's just back in the kitchen. I have nowhere to put it.
To put it
and
out.
And my vision to make my class run well is to have this display cabinet and, you know, little cash register, little storefront kind of right there.
Right.
And he's bought everything but. And so it was last week, you may remember, was just chaos for me. Mm-hmm. We fed 100 people Wednesday night. We had Read Across America, which is chaos, running food back and forth to the library. And we were feeding the school board all, you know, some of this on the same day. So I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I'm worn out. Anyway, and here comes the CTE director, and he's bought two Blackstones for the patio.
Okay. Y'all just got a new smoker and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But let me ask you this. Who do you think that's for?
I know who that's for, honey. I know exactly. I know.
Who's that for? Go ahead and say it.
That's for West the Pest. Uh-huh. That's for the men. That's for the coaches.
Yes. And to drive that point home, I was too busy to even go out there and look at it. I mean, I've not really set eyes on this thing at all. Mm-hmm. Not admired it. I have not anything. And Friday, Wes and, you know, the admins were out there cooking for the coaches.
There you go. There you go.
This is not for me, you know, and I'm just in there going, you know, I put in anytime they need after hour stuff or, you know, for awards or whatever. I am always showing up and I don't get paid for that. Mm-hmm. I'm just showing up and I'm just doing that out of the goodness of my heart.
Right.
I don't have to do it. It is not in my time zone. I don't have to do it. But I do it every time they ask me. And I have asked for one dadgum thing. And so to me, I'm sitting there going, now I'm mad at the Blackstone. I don't even want to use it. It's like a spit in the face.
Right. It's dead to you. The Blackstones are dead to
me. The Blackstones are dead to me. It's not for me. I don't care. Y'all just do whatever. I'm not doing it. But it's that. And it also tells me that you don't know how to run your classroom. Like, I don't know what I need. I've been asking for this thing for 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years. He's like, well, we really shouldn't be selling sweets. I'm like, you bought us a milkshake machine.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know. But anyway, so I'm just at that point, and I'm just, and we've got skills coming up, and you know, there's nobody gives us money to go to skills. This is all comes out of whatever you do, and I'm struggling to keep kids cooking, and I'm struggling to, you know, so Saturday I just threw out a post on Facebook of, hey, we need some money.
She's begging. She's begging.
I'm begging. And that was kind of from a place. I mean, I was just discouraged and just broken, really. Very just unappreciated, whatever. Anyway, but I just said, you know, hey, we're going to skills. We, you know, that we need uniforms. We need registration cost alone is $285.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, just to register, just to get that they force us to go and do this. Then they have to buy uniforms. And then there's kids. These kids don't have money. You know, there's meals for all these days that we're there. There is equipment costs that we've got to buy stuff. Food stuff for them to practice before we even go. And I'm like, good grief. This is, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
I just put that out there. Yeah. And I'm just going to tell you, not just my church family, but my church family showed up. I mean, it was like, It was like a scene from It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, people are handing me money, but not just them. I mean, my God, my Christian friends from all over, everywhere are sending me money. And it's just, you know, and to have people who don't even know my students or who are not even invested in Hardin County to contribute toward their success or their, you know, that's such a blessing. And it's just, you know, somebody Friday, I don't know if you'll understand this being from the city, but somebody Friday, when I was kind of going off about this to somebody, they said, "Don't face it, you're not part of the good old boy network." And I thought, Sunday, I thought, you know what? I may not be part of the good old boy network, but I'm part of God's network. And I'd rather be that than anything
else.
That's
right. That's right. So, that's right. Anyway, that's awesome. Oh, my goodness. You know, yeah, I mean, not to, but, you know, if the coaches and all them want some nice scrolls so they can do stuff like that, that can come out of their budget.
Yeah.
Well, they could even maybe put it up on your patio and use your spot. Yeah. But that money could come out of their budget if they felt like that was something that they wanted to bless their teams.
They don't, and, you know. Yeah, they don't replace my pellets when they use them for the smoker. And now these Blackstones have propane, and I thought, I'm not buying propane every time y'all use
absolutely not
this thing. Y'all are going to have to.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
You're going to get me triggered. Okay, carry on.
Listen, I've been triggered all weekend. My blood pressure was through the roof to a point that I thought, I'm going to have to go to the hospital because I was so mad about it.
I know.
And again, it's probably the pellet rub running out.
Right.
In and
right.
out. But.
They should pay for that pellet, too. They should
listen,
reimburse
for
you for
what they
that.
Put me through. Yeah. Yeah. But
tag that on your bill.
Here's the deal. I think that what we are going to do, I think I'm going to have a bunch of fundraisers, and we may just Thursday cook and sell and sell and sell and sell until look, this display cabinet is $2,000.
Right.
He had millions. I mean, I don't know how much he had, but it refuses, absolutely refuses. So I'm just going to, we're going to fundraise, and I'm just going to take it out of the restaurant account.
There you go. I think that's a great idea.
So
I think that's great. That take it in your own hands. So, you know, because you have the ability to do that. And, you know, they can't say much about it because you can be like, well.
The restaurant bought it.
Yeah, it's here. That's what it's for. And
we raise funds for it.
And that's what it'll be used for.
So
I think that's a great idea.
I've
we
been
support.
Doing this for 10 years. I kind of know how to run my classroom. Thank you very much.
What? The teachers, the boots on the ground know how to do stuff?
I know.
Oh, my gosh. You're talking crazy talk.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, aside from your blood pressure shooting through the roof, did anything else good or interesting happen? You said John Garrett's home? He's on spring break,
John Garrett,
right?
He came home Sunday. He got home Sunday because he wanted to go Mississippi State baseball's in full swing.
Oh.
See my wordplay there? And,
yeah, I did. That was real good. It was real good.
And so he's been going to the games. He wanted to go the one Saturday. And then, so he came home Sunday, drove to Savannah, had lunch with one of his old high school friends, drove down to Florence to see his girlfriend, and then drove back up last night. And he's not here right now. So I don't know where he may have gone back down to Florence. I don't know. So
there's no telling. There's no telling. We don't.
And he's going to Tuesday. He's going to Nashville to the SEC tournament.
Oh, fun.
And yeah. He and JB are going to go watch some basketball.
Oh, nice. That's great.
And then he's like, I don't know. I may go down to Chattanooga.
I heard there might be a rumor that boy might be heading that way. So we'll see, huh?
Yeah. He did get an internship with Croy Engineering for the summer.
Did he really?
Uh-huh.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. So he's crashing on the sofa.
Oh, yes.
Or he may go snuggle with Huddy. I don't know.
Hang on.
Anyway.
Dropping stuff. That's so outstanding.
Yeah, I think he would have kind of wanted to go to camp a little bit. But
yeah, I was going to say it. That's hard to make those decisions when you get to this part of your, some of us just rejected all educational advancements in our summers and did camp till we couldn't go anymore. So that's
right.
It's fine.
That's right. And I was there saying, look, you can't ever go back to camp. You can always work, but you can't go back to camp, you know, but anyway.
Excellent.
He took the academic road.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I guess so. All right. So something that I was thinking about, you know, we've been talking about, I've been talking about, sharing about emotional resilience and all this kind of stuff. Cause I'm just, there's just a lot in my brain right now and it's a good time of year.
I need that this week.
Well, there's some stuff in my brain and there's not some stuff in my brain, mm-hmm. but something that I have was introduced to several years ago now that, keeps popping up in my mind as I kind of continue to try to learn and grow in this area. And it's something, I guess, where did I first see it? Probably Edie Wadsworth, probably. But anyway, it's probably known to other thing, but it's a little, kind of a, I don't even know what you would call it. It's not a metaphor, but it's called the creation cycle. And I don't know. I don't think I've ever really talked about it on here, but I just thought I'd share because it's something that I've been thinking about. And it's a creation cycle for, having to do with our thoughts and our emotions and all that kind of stuff. And how it works is it just sort of lays out how, you know, how important our thoughts are. We've been talking a lot about that. And, just how with our bodies and our minds and our spirits, you know, what we think, and this is a biblical concept, you know, what we think really impacts a big part of our lives. And so the way the cycle works is, so you've got your thoughts, okay, up here or wherever, it doesn't matter. It's going to create kind of a circle, a cycle. You have your thoughts, the things we think, right? The statements that we say, our brain says. And then the next part of the cycle is the thoughts lead to beliefs, certain beliefs like, okay, I have this thought, which now, okay, that means this, right? We assign meaning to what we've just thought. And then once we have a belief, that is what inspires and brings on the feelings, the emotions, how we feel about it, how we feel, okay, from that belief. Okay. And then what inspires us to do actions are our feelings. So I know that doesn't, but if you follow your thoughts for a few days in a week and look at what gets you to do stuff, it's a lot of your, how you feel about something. Okay. Not always. Cause you know, goodness knows I don't like to go to the grocery store. I feel like never going there, but I do sometimes go. But so your feelings then kind of, get you to do certain actions, or I would even say not do. That's a type of action, like not doing something is sort of an action. And then those actions lead you to a thought, right? About that, mm-hmm. whatever. So that's kind of the loose cycle that we're kind of constantly in our minds. And if you really start to think about it, and just look at your own thought processes and kind of how that works. The idea is if we can change some of our thoughts, and again, you know, a lot of the, back in the day when you and I were growing up, if you had said, you know, your thoughts and, you know, it got all new agey and people freaked out and Christians, right, we weren't really allowed to go too deep into that. Like, oh my gosh, Shirley MacLaine's coming to get you. But thankfully, as we've kind of understand the brain more and we have, you know, have lots of good information and study and psychology and all kinds of good stuff, we can really learn a lot. So the idea of is just how much our thoughts really impact. If you see that whole cycle, your thoughts really are leading to all the stuff that then lead to the action in your life or inaction. So, you know, I was trying to think of just an example of this. So you could say, you could have the thought, my house is so messy. Okay. That's just a thought, right? Thoughts are just statements. They're just statements in your head. They're statements you think. My house is so messy. Then that thought, of course, leads to a belief. Okay. What do I believe about that? Well, it's bad to have a messy house and I am a bad, house manager. I am doing a bad job at that.
I believe somebody needs to come clean it.
It's bad. Your thought is somebody need to get up in here and clean this house.
Needs to pick this up.
See, and Joni is very emotionally resilient, you guys. So she is working from a place of very good health. So we can all take some lessons. Right. Where's that? Why is nobody cleaning this mess up? That is a thought you could have. So your belief might be, you know, it's bad. Because that the thought of my house is messy is a neutral thought.
Right.
But it's what you believe about that.
Yeah.
That then makes you lead you to a feeling, an emotion of shame, right? Comparison, regret, jealousy of someone else, overwhelm. Mm-hmm. Okay, those are the feelings that you got from the belief you had about the statement, my house is messy. So then you have those feelings, and then those feelings can lead to. And in that case, a lot of times it would lead to inaction, right? You have overwhelm. Yeah. It's too big. It's too much. I don't know what to do. Or it leads to other actions of not inviting anyone over, right? It leads to mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. Or I'm going to, maybe I'm going to yell at all my kids more. Maybe I'm going to yell at my family more to get them to clean up, which, you know, Joni's nodding. I'm not saying that's a bad option. That could be a good option for you. But the point is that leads you to that, which then gives you a thought. Now the thought could be the same. It could be my house is messy. Like it could continue. You could actually just sort of stay in that. Or, you know, you might have another thought of nobody in my house is helping me. Or, you know, whatever it is, whatever thought.
That's my thought.
Yeah, there you go. And we've all had that thought. Can I just say, get an amen? We've all had, and the thoughts are not necessarily untrue. That's what you have to understand. It's not that it's an untrue thing, and that's where our brain gets really tricky, but it's what you make it mean. It's your belief about that thought that then leads you to the feelings. Nobody's helping me. People should be helping me and I should not all. And again, not these are not all necessarily untrue things, but it's that assignment of what they don't love me. They don't care about this house, you know, which then leaves me to feel angry. I'd be pissed. That's where Holly gets pissed. Okay. So that emotion now is I'm pissed off and I'm resentful and I'm bitter. And then that leads me to maybe I just go on a little strike and I just don't do. Or maybe I do everything huffy and puffy, or maybe I, you know, okay, so you see how it just, you cycle and you cycle and we all do it. We all do it about every different thought you have. You assign a meaning to it, right? And then that makes you feel a certain way. And then that makes you act or not act. So the exercise, the thing that, you know, I want to do more of and be more intentional about is in catching that thought. Because again, you know, thoughts come and go and it's all whatever, but trying to form thoughts that are, and then a belief that are going to lead me to better feelings and better actions. Okay. It doesn't always happen. It's not always going to work, but to kind of create that cycle and that habit of instead of, you know, I have a messy house or whatever. My thought could be, you know, I want to work at making my home more organized and more peaceful. I want to work on that. Okay. That's a thought, right? Or I love a peaceful, more organized home. This sounds cheesy, but it's just, it's sort of like, you know, you say, I want to work on that. And then that belief that comes from that is, you know, wow, my life would be probably more peaceful and a little better. If I had things a little more under control in the house, you know, or whatever room, whatever it is, you know, yeah, that would probably, I think that'd be a good thing. I think I'd feel better. Right. Instead of I'm a bad home, instead of I'm bad this and I'm bad that and I'm terrible at this and I didn't do that right. It's that would feel pretty good. That would feel better. I could get more done. I could be, okay. And then that leads you to feel hopeful, optimistic, like get your brain kind of going on a solution, you know? And then, what are you laughing about? She's laughing over there.
Because I'm sitting here thinking that would just make me feel terrible because I would know I'm sitting here doing all this work, making all this peaceful. And in 5 minutes, they're going to come and destroy it.
Well, I forgot the part of the cycle that says you lock them out of the house. That you take all their keys and you lock them out of the. Now, I mean, again, that's a good point because it's not to say that any, that's a very good point. Because that's not to say that this is like a magic bullet because you do have, we all have other people in our lives. And that is an absolute good point. You could do this or do that and do that. And you have other, we all have other people in our families that may not share the same value.
My goal is not their goal. Yeah, we have
exactly
completely different values.
And that is something that, you know, we all have to work on then having conversations with our families and they may have things that are more important to them. And, you know, that's a whole nother conversation to have. Like, it's really important that I have an area that I can just throw my stuff and I don't have to think about, you know, okay, maybe we can find an area. Like, exactly. It's not like we all live in a bubble where we can just, you know, do that. So like the house one may not be a great example, but it's a good example. Mm-hmm. In certain ways, because then, you know, those feelings, you feel a little bit more optimistic. You feel like, okay, a little less over. And then that will lead you to maybe go do an area. Or, you know, again, whatever you're talking about. I don't spend enough good time with my kids. Or I don't like how I look. I don't like all my clothes. Or I don't, whatever it is, it can apply to absolutely anything and everything in your life. And just that concept of trying to restart the cycle as many times as we can with our thoughts. You know, Romans 12:2, you know, says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I love that verse because that's where I go, you know, there is a biblical and a scriptural, you know, take captive your thoughts. We are told to do that. Yeah. And so I feel like so many of us, especially women our age, I think everybody, but like we are just our thoughts and, you know, how it makes us feel and how we are supposed to take it captive.
There is a phrase I heard somewhere that we bow down to a God of feelings. Mm. And that is stuck with me. And that's the same thing with your thoughts, your feelings.
Yep.
You know, you do need to take those captive.
Yes. And the thing is, and again, you can kind of jump in anywhere in the cycle, but feelings are hard because your feelings are your feelings and they come up and that is a feeling, right? So that's harder to be like, don't feel bad. You know, don't feel like that's a more difficult place to start. Whereas, in fact, I don't know if it is even, you know, possible. Maybe it is. But the place to start is in that section of your thoughts and your beliefs.
Yeah.
Okay. So you could even have a thought like, my house is messy. And if you could capture it there and kind of go, okay, but what is my belief about that? What about that? What meaning am I deciding that that means? It's messy because I have a house full of boys coming in and out and all their friends all day long. And oh my gosh, we're at the pool in the back and we're having a great time. And oh Lord, remember when they sprayed soda all over and that was so funny. Okay. That's actually a belief that is not a bad thing, which would lead you to feelings of perhaps, oh man, you know, yeah, it's messy, but it's worth it. It's messy, but but here's the joy, you know? Yeah. And so I think that even if you can kind of catch the thought belief connection there and make sure that you don't make it believe, try not to work on myself. I'm talking to myself, work on what I'm making it, but what I'm making it mean, because that's the key.
Right. Yep.
That's the key.
Yep.
A thought's going to come in your head, you know? Yes, work on our thought, work on thinking, man, I wonder what, you know, whatever, you know, like I said, we have to ask the right questions because then your brain will start working on it. But, you know, trying to frame things in a sense of, you know, It's hard to not say it without sounding like just stupid pie in the sky, but I challenge people to try it. Yeah. And just next time you have, you know, and I need to do this, you guys, hold me accountable. It is tough right now. It is tough to go, you know, my precious mother-in-law and her, the dementia, that is tough. And I have made it mean. I'm telling you this because I have made all kinds of beliefs and all kinds of things mean things that I'm having to really work on that. And because then it leads to feelings which are not leading. And the actions, a lot of the actions still have to be there. We still need to care and we still need to do the things and take care of. But I want to be able to do it without having the feeling of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it is a cycle and I can get really stuck in it. So that's what I'm going to kind of try to work on and continue to just practice it. Because I just, you know, there's no reason here's one example. So I don't know that I haven't thought about how, you know, to share this or whatever. It's not a big deal. But like one of the things that's very, very hard right now of taking care of elderly parents is that I am scared. It's making me fearful of my old age. Mm-hmm. I'll just be real honest. I'll just put that right out there. It's making, you know, it's, I'm feeling like, you know, just sort of, oh no, because it's not real fun.
Yeah.
And I'm also feeling like I don't want my kids.
Right.
Okay. So, So see here, it's the both ends are happening right now. As we're caring for parents or particularly mother-in-law, you know, and that's one. And I know my kids will do, like, I know my kids will take care of, you know, us very well. And I know all of that, but it's breaking my heart to think, and I think every parent goes through this.
Yeah. I don't want to be a burden.
No. You know what? That's literally what my sweet mother-in-law says all the time. I'm just sorry. I'm a burden. And you know, you're just like, I don't, and it's not even that I just know it's hard. I know it's hard from the child's point of view. And so not that hard is bad. Again, I'm very good at making hard bad. Yeah. I'm really good at that. Discomfort, bad. Hard, bad. And that's a whole other chapter I got to deal
things.
With.
It is. I don't know. It's one of these things, as far as that goes. Go ahead and finish.
You go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
No, I've just had, there have been, my mother was an only child. And so about the time that I got old enough to kind of take care of myself, fifth grade where I could, mm-hmm. you know, make my own sandwich or whatever,
right.
you
right.
know, my grandparents started going down. So really my entire life has been taking care of somebody, you mm-hmm. know, and this is just, it's kind of, I don't know. And, you know, and I realize it's not fresh for you.
Yeah, but it is a little bit. It is a little bit.
You know, so it's been for me. I'm like, oh, it's just what this is just life. This every day. Right. This is what we do.
Right.
You know. And now, you know, I got a lot of that because my dad died early on, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my mom right now is doing well, and so you're kind of picking up where I was, you know, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. I mean, it's just so caretaking. It's just, even with multiple people available.
Right. But it's more, it's just interesting how it may, that's what I'm saying. Like how it's, I'm trying to figure out how, I'm trying to work on my own resilience and capacity about it, because that is what has to grow, is my capacity to be okay with it.
Yeah.
And I am, like, in general, of course I am, but be okay with it and not feel, you know, not like I said, I really am seeing my own self and my own kids and going, is this what's next? Like I'm 53 and I'm like, okay, well,
when I first moved back to Savannah and I wasn't married and I'd just gotten out of college and I lived with my grandfather because he did fine during the day, but he needed some help mm-hmm. at night. So I could work during the day and then help him mm-hmm. take care of him at night. But it got to where it was like all night and mm-hmm. I was exhausted. And I felt so guilty and I felt so bad because I thought, and I wasn't complaining to people, but in my head I was complaining.
Yeah, it's rough.
And I
it's
felt hard. So bad because I thought if this situation were reversed, my grandfather would not, you know, bemoan this at all.
Well, first of all, you don't know that.
I don't know that, but you know.
But I think everyone has their...
So it is.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
So that's, but that's the, that's kind of the point is, you know, this stuff is going to happen. This stuff is here and it's a reality and none of us know, you know, the exact future that we have in our own, health and life. And that is why, you know, I do take it pretty seriously and trying to make moves to really do the best I can to stay mentally, you know, healthy and aware and there and all that kind of good stuff and physically as well. But, you know, it's going to happen. It's not like, you know, it, we all wear out and it's all going to happen. We're all going to need help. I'm not opposed to, you know, it's not really the needing help, but it's just kind of what you said, that that burden, you know. And so that's why right now I don't want to live the next however many years. See what a waste that is if I live these years already in that dread. It's a real waste. And I really, and that's where the cycle, and among other things, I've got a few other resources that I'm really kind of trying to focus myself for a little bit here on learning. You know, we don't have all the answers. I'm a pretty smart person, I will say, and I don't want to hear anything from you, Joni, about it if you think I'm not.
Holding my tongue.
But thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I'm fairly good with like psychological and emote. Like I kind of get all that. I know that I'm probably, I would consider, you know, I know, mentally healthy, all the things. But that, I'm telling you, there's always room to grow and learn and read something and find out, because there's stuff that you hear it's being said or spoken about a different way. And you're like, it just clarifies it. And you realize, oh yeah, I could use some help on that. That's something that, you know, that I can work on. So I just think that that's really important, especially, not especially, I won't use the word especially, because I mean, it's important anytime, but you know, here's what you're going to find, ladies when that are a little younger than we are, mamas that are a little younger than we are. And you already, you know, I'm sure a lot of you already know this, but you're so busy right now with just keeping everybody alive, keeping everybody in clothes and bathed and at their activities. And that is a whole level of stress and cortisol and all the and reward and fun and all the things. Like that's a whole season that that a lot of you are in. And when you come out of that, and which I'll kind of call, it's a little bit of survival mode, you know, for y'all.
Like I said,
you're just trying
to
make it. You're trying to make it through. And when you come out of that and you start to get close to empty nest, and you know, they start to all, you know, start doing their own things, and then they're graduating and they're doing stuff, and then you do kind of get to where you're done with that season, which is a great thing. That is a great thing, but it opens the door to some interesting thoughts about your own mental, emotional capacity, and kind of, because you haven't had a chance maybe to really focus, think about it. You know what I mean? It kind of gets masked because you're just, you know, we're all get really good at just go, 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 which is great. And do the next thing. And you always kind of know the next thing and you're doing. And then you kind of step back when things slow down a little bit is when all of a sudden you go, well, I might need to think about that a little bit.
Think on that.
I need to think on that for just a second. So anyway, that's it. That's all the deep thoughts I have for today. But, you know.
Deep thoughts.
I know. Holly. Deep thoughts with Holly. And it's just because I know I'm not the, I mean, I know we all are dealing with it, and it's just really good to think about that. So I just, you know, like I said, I'm going to really, really be practicing it. And I'll try to think of, you know, examples as I go through the weeks of when it worked or when it didn't. Because like I said, right now, my thoughts are not great about some aspects of things.
Yeah.
And part of that is because of my capacity, because of my capacity for being uncomfortable or, you know, hard.
Bad. It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. What? How dare you? No. You just ruined my whole cycle. Gosh darn it, I have to start over. All right. That's all I have for that. Oh, okay. What do you got? You got anything for us?
No, I just had my, you know, my It's a Wonderful Life moment. That was about it.
I loved that.
I'm having a St. Patrick's Day party Saturday.
Oh, wear green or you're going to get pinched.
I know. Depends on who's there. Maybe I'll wear purple.
Oh, maybe. No, maybe. Are you? Okay, awesome.
No, Paige and I are having a St. Patrick's Day.
Nice.
She's got a building downtown that's
that'll be fun. So excellent. Excellent.
Big one. Okay. We're just cooking stuff. So anyway, that's
all
it.
Right. Are you ready for your recipe?
I am. You ready? Here's your St. Patrick's Day beef stew.
Oh, I love beef stew.
Okay.
Oh.
It is. You have 3 tablespoons of olive oil. That's going to be divided. We'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. 2 pounds of just beef stew meat. Usually chuck is usually what they do. Make it cubed in about 1-inch pieces or however.
And you can actually buy that cubed at a lot of your butchers or already have it. Yeah. So if you want to be lazy.
Right. Let's see. You need some, hang on, I missed it. You need some salt and some freshly ground pepper, a yellow onion or a Vidalia onion if you want to.
Okay.
Sweet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 2 medium carrots. Go ahead and peel them and cut them into rondelles. Just slice them. You just need round carrots.
Okay.
You need 2 celery ribs, finely chopped, 3 cloves of garlic, minced, and 3 medium potatoes. And go ahead and peel them and cut them into, you know, bite-sized chunks.
Okay.
That's what you're going to do with that. Mm-hmm. 4 cups of low-sodium beef broth. If you want it on that healthier end, or if you want to get some beef consomme too, that may give you a little richer flavor on that.
Oh, yeah. That does sound good.
And then you need a bottle of Guinness. This makes it Irish.
Oh, now we're getting in it.
Now, that's where we are.
Okay. I was thinking red wine, but you're right. The Guinness.
Guinness. And then
you might need 2 bottles.
You might need 2.
Because you might need to drink one while you're cooking. While you're cooking.
All right. Then you need about two teaspoons of fresh thyme. And if you want to garnish it with some, you know, parsley or something like that, you can do that. Mm. So, all right. So you're going to get your Dutch oven and just over medium heat, go ahead and heat your oil, get your oil heating up, put your salt and pepper on your beef. And then, and if you need to do it in batches, you can, but you should be able to, depending on the size of your Dutch oven, go ahead and add your beef to that and cook it on all of its sides till it's good and browned. Probably take you, I'd say about 10 minutes to do that. And then you are going to transfer the beef to a plate. Leave your pot, leave your Dutch oven there.
Leave all the yummies in there.
Leave the yummies in there. You are going to heat the other tablespoon of oil in that. Go ahead and cook your onions and your carrots and your celery. Stir them occasionally. Your bits are going to come up. Your beef bits are going to come up as you're stirring that too.
I love beef bits.
I do love beef bits. All right. That should take you, I don't know, it should take you between 7 to 10 minutes to get your vegetables good and sauteed. Add your garlic. Remember, garlic cooks fast. So you're going to do that at the very end. Add your garlic. It'll take it about a minute to cook with that. Don't overdo it. All right. Then you're going to put your beef back into your Dutch oven. Add your potatoes, your broth or your consomme, the beer and the thyme. And at that point, go ahead and scrape up all of any brown bits from your vegetables or your meat, just scrape them up with that.
Get them off the pan and mixed in. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bring that to a boil. And then immediately, once it comes to a boil, go ahead and reduce your heat down to medium low and bring it to a simmer. Season it to taste with salt and pepper. And then you're going to cover it and let it all simmer and for about 30 minutes. Make sure your potatoes are fork tender.
Right.
That's the thing that's going to
cook.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it. That is your Irish beef stew.
That sounds so, I really think I am going to make that.
Yeah.
I know I say it every week, I'm going to make one, but, and I really always mean it, guys. But that sounds, and honestly, oh, I mean, that's just such a good, like, Saturday.
It is. That's a
even though it's getting warmer, it's still
your nights are still chilly.
Yeah. And if it's a rainy day or anything like that's good when you don't feel like, you know, but oh man, those flavors just sound really good.
Yeah.
Make some soda bread or something or some biscuits or something to go with it. Oh, do a little leprechaun dance.
Beer bread. Get your beer bread.
Oh yeah. Do beer bread. Beer bread is so good.
It is.
And
so
it's
good.
So easy. And it's so easy. I haven't made
it
that
is.
In a million years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember my kids discovered.
We actually have that recipe on our website somewhere.
Oh, you did. Mm-hmm. I think probably last year, probably. You're right.
I don't know. You can go in and hit search.
You can
go
just search
it. designercornbreadpodcast.com and go to the search and you can hit, you know,
there's a recipe tab. Yeah.
Or well, you just search. Even that on just your search, it'll pull it up.
Yeah. No, you did do a beer bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Thatcher discovered that when he was in college, like how to cook that. And he was like, this is the best, because I made it when they were little, some, you know, but there's like, this is the best bread, you know, and it's really easy. So, okay. Yeah. Irish beef stew with a little bit of Guinness up in there.
That's right.
I love it. Okay. It's time for your top three.
Top three.
And I'm ready.
I am ready. Look at you.
I know. I'm on the ball today.
I know.
Okay. So my first one, I'd already talked about it, but just my church family. Aww. Having a church family, that's
a good one.
That's one of my favorite things. It's been, I mean, there is at least once a week on my calendar that, you know, what are you grateful for? Whatever. At least once a week, I've got in there my church family. They are so great. If you're in the area and you want to come to Olivet Cumberland Presbyterian Church, you will be welcome.
Oh,
they are great, great bunch of people.
Yeah, they were super nice when I came, even though you really harassed. Tried to embarrass me and harass me, but they all did it with you. So I feel like you're right. No wonder you love them.
Yeah, that's right. All right. And then my next one, I'm doing a Lent devotion called The Risen King, and it's by Spurgeon. Mm. And it's just a daily, you know, just a daily devo. The Risen King by Spurgeon.
The Risen King. I'm going to look at that. Okay.
And then my last one, which you will be very proud of, since you are not here to teach me dermaplaning. And I looked at all those little razory things, you know, and I had this vision that I would, you know, look like the Grinch in the Jim Carrey movie, you know, when he was little and he tried to, and that I would have like, you know, so I found, and I am liking it. I was unsure about ordering this. It's the Michael Todd Sonic Smooth Pro Plus.
I have that one.
Do you?
That's the same one I have.
Well,
it's
that's
good,
what
isn't
I got.
It?
It is good.
It's gentle.
Yeah, it's
gentle.
It's
not just a rate. It's not like a, you can, I have the little,
I'm not
just regular razors for like real quick, but this one's like an electric.
Yeah.
But it's real soft. Yeah. Look at you.
No, I'm turning into a girl after
all. I love it. It's about time. Shave that fuzz off your beard, off your face.
It wasn't a beard. It's peach fuzz.
But aren't you shocked at how much fuzz comes off? Like,
No, well, because I had it done at Flourish.
Oh, true.
First, so I don't know. I didn't see the initial stuff. Yeah. And then it's just been little, you know.
Yeah, but it's not. I'm telling you, your makeup should be going on better.
I don't know that I notice a difference.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. I try.
But I don't know, but whatever.
That's awesome.
Ollie told me I had to do it, so
I did. And it's going to be exfoliating. That's amazing. Those are very good top three. Thanks so much for sharing that.
You are welcome. I am here to help.
Thank you. Oh, guys, thanks again so much for being here, whatever you're doing, if you're taking
a
walk.
I'm tangled in my cords. I'm going to be I've fallen and I can't get up.
And you know what? No one would come check on you up there. Would just be up there.
I would just be up here.
I can't. Oh,
all right, I'm untangled.
Okay, thank you. I was just going to let you have a minute. I was trying to thank the people for listening, but
it
was more important that you got untangled.
I did. Thank y'all for listening.
No, seriously, thank you so much, and hope you guys are having a really good week and spring is here and we can take time and think a little bit about our thoughts and be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of our minds, make some beef stew and get you a dermaplaner. I mean, what more could you want? I hear That's dogs true. Like howling and barking and outside and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Oh, there's
dirty,
like a whole situation.
Dirty rain.
It's the dirty rain. All right.
Yeah.
We'll
All
talk
right.
to you later, guys. Have a great week. Goodbye, cornbread.
See you, corn dip. Well,
I know I was talking and I was like, I can't hear
real
anything.
Good. Real good.
It's fine. I was trying to mess with like the effects. There was a, adjust, choose a video filter.
Oh, I need some filtering.
No, I don't think I want to do that. I don't think I want to do that. studio effects. Oh, I could do eyebrows and, no, I could do like, grass and okay, never mind. None of that matters. I'm just gonna be normal, regular me.
Okay,
okay.
I kind of like normal, regular you.
Well, that's so nice.
I'm not sure where normal actually fits, but
well, normal for me.